I'm sad.
Well, you should be sad. This might not be good news for Blackhawks fans. Judd Surratt joins us right now. You know Judd Surratt. He's from the radio. From Judd Surratt. Hi, Judd.
Might not be good news for the Blackhawks.
Oh, it isn't good news for the Blackhawks, is it, Judd?
All right, but wait. Now, for people who didn't see it because they were busy doing something else last night, and even though they were sporting their favorite number two jersey for one Duncan Keith, what happened last night on the ice?
All right, so the Blackhawks are trailing 1-0. It's early to the middle portion of the first period. He's involved in a skirmish with Charlie Coyle. Coyle, for some reason, gets his stick between Keith's legs, he yanks him down, and Keith, while he's down on his back on the ice, wildly swings his stick and connects with Charlie Coyle's face. At that point, Keith is given a match penalty for intent to injure, which gives the Wild a 5-minute power play. Keith automatically ejected and automatically suspended because of the match penalty.
Explain match penalty. Why is it called match penalty, Judd?
Intent to injure.
Intent to injure.
Yeah, but he was knocked to the ice, and he was just kind of accidentally flailing the stick.
Wendy, what he did is unacceptable and indefensible.
And I know that he's had a history of doing some of this type of thing in the past, but it's been a long time ago. It upsets me that he would do that intentionally, but I know he did.
Well, I can't get into his head, so I'm not going to say that there was intent there. What I can't tell you is exactly what happened on video, and he needs to be in control of his stick. There is just no reason for him to connect and swing wildly and connect with Charlie Coyle's face. And in some sense, he's very fortunate that Coyle was able to finish the game and he wasn't seriously injured. Duncan Keith was suspended two prior times. One was, I think, in 2012 in March, when he elbowed Daniel Sedin of Vancouver Canucks, and the other was a one-game suspension against the Kings back in June of, what was that? It was the playoffs when they lost in the Western Conference Finals to the LA Kings. So technically, because it's past an 18-month span, he is not considered a repeat offender, but the league will certainly look at his past history.
It does look like he just completely swung it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe instead of a game suspension, Judd, maybe we take away his car keys for a little while and he has to be in by 9 o'clock every night. Would that be better?
I think that might be good. You know, when the street lights come on, I think he's got to be in immediately.
In the house. No TV.
But, you know, it's important to note that the NHL offered Duncan Keith an in-person hearing. So that means that the league can possibly suspend him for 6 or more games.
Wow.
We're talking postseason.
Will be. Well, that's potentially the case. You know, I think the best case scenario if you're the Blackhawks is that it's just the regular season and it's 5 games. If it's more than that, then this could seriously impact what the Blackhawks do in the first round.
And when this in-person thing that you just mentioned, that's to get his side of the story. Is that why?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's usually something. If the league is going to suspend a player, and it doesn't matter which player, you know, if you're going to suspend him for more than 5 games, you're going to have a discussion with the league in the league offices in New York.
When something like this normally goes down, Judd, not just with the Blackhawks, but any player on any team, what happens internally? Does the coach have a word with him? Does maybe the captain have a word with him and say, hey, this is really a bad time for you to have done this? What goes on internally?
No, that's a good question. You know, I think every team is different, you know, and I don't know exactly how the Blackhawks, I'll be honest with you, handle this internally. I don't think that Duncan Keith is a veteran player needs to be spoken to by management or by the captain, Jonathan Toews, to know exactly the ramifications of his actions and how it'll impact the team.
I think, you know, he knows.
He did the wrong thing.
Like, they would just go, what the hell?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And really, I'm watching it zoomed in and close up. And
it's not pretty.
And it's, I wish he wouldn't have made contact, because then it wouldn't have, would it have still been an offense?
Wendy, you still can't swing your stick wildly like that.
Yeah.
You just have to be in control of your stick. You have to, not only do you have to do it to have the discipline, because listen, you're trying to win some games at this point. You're trying to hopefully get yourself in the fight for home ice, which I think is definitely out the window. You're trying to stay in front of the Nashville Predators.
A lot of pressure.
Picture here, but you also have to have respect for one another on the ice.
And he's won that award. He does. I'm so disappointed in my jersey number.
Yeah, and Duncan Keith.
I'm still wearing it. He's Duncan Keith, but it just, to me, didn't, I was shocked.
Right.
When I heard this.
Right. Do you think, Judd, now the Blackhawks have reached, obviously, a rough stretch the last couple of weeks, and I know that builds up some frustrations. Do you think that plays into it a little bit with him?
Again, it's hard for me to crawl into his head and say, you know, what exactly was happening here. I mean, these are guys, you know, in general that have been through a lot. I can't say that any frustration mounted. You know, again, it's so difficult. I can't crawl into his head and tell you exactly what was going on at that moment. But what I can tell you is exactly what happened on the ice at that time. He was on his back. He was taken down by Charlie Coyle. He was
very hard, too. It was a hard fall to the ice for Duncan Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But Wendy, at the same time,
no, you know, that's no excuse for him to swing the stick.
It is not. It is not. And the league, what the league will do, and I sent out a tweet, which is basically for people who have frequently asked questions about NHL player safety. There's a good Q&A that's on the NHL's website. I tweeted it out. You can find it at Judd, @JUDD_Sirott, SIROTT. And it goes through the whole litany of things that the league will consider while they're handing out supplemental discipline. And one of the things that they will look at is what was the context of what happened during the course of the game? Was there something that happened earlier in the game? Was there something that happened on the play? When did this take place during the course of the game? So the league will try and take all of those things into account when they ultimately make their decision.
Because if you watch it in slow motion, it looks like Coyle is lifting up his stick that's under Duncan Keith's skate to mm-hmm. to flip him over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm so easily swayed with this because we want to believe in our Hawks.
Well, you know, I think the hard part, Wendy, is I cannot tell you what his intent was. You know, and that's probably what NHL player safety is going to say at that point. But what they can tell you is exactly what took place on the ice. When I did see the play live, you know, my first thought was that Charlie Coyle slew-footed Duncan Keith.
Sure,
and
looks
that's
like
play
it.
All right, in hockey terms, when you slew-foot someone, you take their feet out from behind. It's a very dangerous play, and a lot of times guys can get seriously hurt because they can smash the back of their head on the ice, which can result in a concussion. Again, I don't know if that's necessarily why Duncan Keith reacted the way he did. What I can tell you is, even if that did happen, he must be in control of his stick. He was not. He connected with Charlie Coyle, and he was ejected from the game.
And, you know, players shouldn't be worried about somebody whacking them with a stick, dirty hit or not. But at first I'm thinking, you know, Coyle, this wasn't anything dirty. It knocked Duncan Keith off his skates. But upon further inspection, it looks like he completely lifted his skates and feet from underneath him. But again, you're right, Judd, you can't go swinging your sticks around like it's a weapon.
You just can't, you know, and people talk about toughness all the time, Wendy. You know, toughness is not someone who drops the gloves and fights. A lot of times toughness is having the discipline to sustain a hit like that and not retaliate and put your team at a disadvantage, whether it's Duncan Keith or anybody else. This will happen a lot. It certainly happened to guys like Keith and plenty of Blackhawks along the way. That's what toughness is about, toughness and discipline, and the Blackhawks needed more of it.
If you wouldn't mind, if we can get away from this story for just a second, Corey Crawford has now been out for a lot longer than any of us had hoped.
Right.
When do we expect him to return? What exactly is going on there, Judd?
That's a really good question, Bill, and I asked that question to Troy Murray last night because it's been very difficult to discern that just listening to Joel Quenneville. The only thing I can tell you is, from the people that I talk to within the organization, they seem to say that it's not serious and he should be back here soon. I have no idea whatsoever, and I understand what the conjecture and the speculation is. I have no idea what exactly ails him. Mm-hmm. And because it's the National Hockey League and it's a complete black box, we're never going to really find out exactly what it is. But it sounds like that we will see him before the end of the regular season, that it's nothing serious, and shouldn't inhibit or impede him from playing in the playoffs. And hopefully, you know, because he's been off the ice here for a little bit, he hasn't exactly had time to skate and practice and be involved in games,
yeah,
that hopefully he can regain the form that really put him as a Vezina Trophy candidate as the goaltender of the year in the National Hockey League.
Judd, there's a rumor that goes around about hockey and hockey players because they don't have to disclose specifically what the injury is, that the reason behind that is so that other players don't hear that and go, okay, the guy's got a bad rib cage on the right side, let's target that. Is that true? Is that what goes on?
I mean, that's typically the case. I've talked to many players in the past, and, you know, you'll listen, these guys watch and follow the game very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they think it's a lower body injury and a guy's taking a slap shot off the foot and they're not sure which foot, I remember asking players in the past, you know, and they'll say, you know what, I'm just going to test both feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that the league's position is, unless it's a long-term injury, and usually most teams are the same, that if it's a something long-term, like Marcus Kruger experiencing the dislocated left wrist, that they will make an announcement exactly what the injury is. But I think you are correct there, Bill. What I think they want to try and stay away from is having players target other players after they've experienced some injuries.
Yeah.
How many games has Corey missed? I've lost track now.
That is a good question.
I wanted to say six.
Five or six, I think, right?
It's been up there.
Hold on. I just happened to pull up the NHL game notes before we came on because I wanted to look to see how the Blackhawks had done with Keith out of the lineup early in the season. Remember, he missed 10 games early in the season having knee surgery, and they were 5-4-1 without him. For Corey Crawford, he has missed 6 games thus far.
Yeah.
That just seems like an awful lot of game, you know, a lot of games to miss. And we hope he's okay. Good news for Marian Hossa, number 499 last night.
And fitting that it came shorthanded. He was a beast while the Blackhawks were trying to kill off that 5-minute power play for the Minnesota Wild. And that was a terrific feed by Jonathan Tazan. And hopefully that's something good for Marian. I know a lot of people have been just hitting Marian with this barrage of questions about getting his 500th goal. And I think it's certainly been on his mind. And maybe getting 499 will help loosen things up. And he's able to get it quickly here. The Blackhawks will be off the ice today. They'll practice tomorrow. And they'll head to Winnipeg, and they'll take on the Jets Friday.
Judd, just one other quick thing. I know they made some nice acquisitions right at the trade deadline, but getting Andrew Ladd back, I thought it would be a good thing. It's been a really good thing. He's really been producing.
He's been great. I think Andrew Ladd has been terrific for this team. And really, most of the guys who have been acquired by Stan Bowman at the trade deadline have made some good contributions. Tomas Fleischmann has proven to be a very useful and valuable player for the team.
Yeah.
But for a guy like Andrew Ladd, and I think it's only going to get better, Bill, because when he first came on board, even Andrew admitted that maybe I was looking to get the puck too often to Taves and Hossa, and I wasn't really playing my normal game. And that's not something uncommon, even for a veteran player. So now that he's kind of gone through that, I think he had mentioned, listen, I'm just going to play my normal game state, make the plays when they're there, be responsible defensively, finish my checks, and it's resulted in 3 goals in the last 3 games.
Well, getting Fleischmann was a natural because you got the bread man, so you want somebody representing margarine, don't you?
How did I know that was going to come up? How did I know?
All right. Well, Judd, I'm sad about Duncan Keith. When will we find out how many games he might be out of?
Unknown. You know, I think the question is, when does the in-person hearing take place? He has the ability to waive that in-person hearing, and he can conduct it over the phone, which will expedite the process. But that's something we still have to find out. So.
Isn't that when you put your suit on and you're on your best behavior
absolutely.
And you go in person and go, listen, man,
I don't
know.
You bring them fresh cookies.
Do you think Gary Bettman and the boys, or if he's talking to Stefan Quintal, who oversees NHL player safety, do you think he's a peanut butter cookie guy? You know, chocolate chip.
Yeah.
You know,
or hot
you
gooey
go the thin mints that are awesome. You know,
oh,
you
those are good
throw
too.
Them in the old NHL freezer and just kind
right.
of pull them out.
No, homemade is the way to go because he should be sorry if there was intent behind it. It just is. I keep flip flopping back and forth as I'm watching it slowed down and blown up because it does.
Wendy, intent or no intent?
I know.
You can't do it.
I know. But I can see where it would happen.
Moment of passion.
You're getting pissed off, you know? It's coming down to the nitty-gritty. What, there are 5 games
left? 5 games left, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the important thing is they have to stay. You want to stay in front of the Nashville Predators. Nashville lost last night, so they have a four-point edge over Nashville. But if for some reason Nashville passes them, then it's likely the Blackhawks could move into the Pacific Division when the playoffs take place. That means rigorous travel and two punishing teams that you could face in the first round, either the Kings or the Anaheim Ducks. I think you'd like to try and avoid that. Not that playing St. Louis or Dallas is going to be a cakewalk whatsoever, because those are two awesome teams and two teams that, by the way, have more points than the Kings. So you want to try and stay in front of the Predators if at all possible.
I went to Nashville for the first time in my life last year, last summer. We're going again. I love it there. I hate the Predators. I'm sorry.
We're basing it on that, Judd. What it's come down to. Judd, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. We're hoping for nothing but the best the rest of the way for the Blackhawks.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Thank you, Judd.
Our friend Judd Surratt covering the Blackhawks beat. We're going to take a quick break and then be right back. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.